There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to the No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover series. The Cover to Cover series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. Currently, No Mere Mortal is a personal project of obedience to the Lord. My hope is that the content in this series will help you know God's Word, and by doing so, you will know God's love for you. Judges chapter 13, verse 5, and it reads, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and I did not ask him his name." Guys, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I just always want to pray that as we come before you, we would come with open hearts, open minds, Lord, ready to experience you by your Spirit, through your word, to know you more and to become more like you. In your son's name, amen. So if you're there with me, Judges chapter 13, starting verse 1, it says, "Again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And so I want you guys to understand where we left off last week as we looked at a judge by the name of Jephthah. We've jumped several years. There's actually been a couple judges in between there from where we ended last chapter. We skipped over chapter 12. There's been a few judges in there. And even from the beginning after the judge before who we're going to see tonight is that there's been a period of about 40 years. And right now we are introduced to the proverbial enemy of Israel. We're going to be talking about the Philistines for a long time as we move through the rest of Scripture. And so with that, I want to go into a little bit of history right now. When we look at the Philistines, please understand, they are extinct. There are no Philistines left. No one can tie their lineage to the Philistines. They have been obliterated. Now, the reason that's important to understand is because understand that when the Romans conquered Israel, to kind of put a thumb in the eye, to mock Israel, knowing that the Philistines were the proverbial enemy, they named the land of Israel, which they had conquered, Palestine. So when you hear about this debate going back and forth, it was the Romans, when they conquered Israel, called it Palestine because it was a play on Philistines. But again, the reason why you need to understand that, I want to start off, is that they are not Philistines. Those people have been wiped out. The Philistines were actually originally from Greece, and they came over from Greece across the sea, landing on a little strip between Egypt and Israel, a strip that, you know, you might have heard about, the Gaza Strip. And so some of these fights still originate, but understand, those Philistines have been wiped out. Those who are Palestinians in Palestine today, those who are in that Gaza Strip, they are children of Abraham. See, the Philistines were not. They're originally from Greece. But the Palestinians, they are descended from Ishmael. And please, so again, guys, you need to understand when you're looking at these global wars, something Scripture makes very clear to us. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is the powers and principalities of this dark world. Those people there, they're under the same bondage. Again, when we look at it, it's not a coincidence that there are still an enemy from that land who wants to completely obliterate the nation of Israel. But understand that like the Philistines before, the Palestinians are being used to be eliminated just like the Philistines were as well. The true enemy is happy with all human casualty. We get to come in saying something very counter to that. So again, understand that after Jephthah, we've jumped a few more judges in their prosperity. As so often we do, they turn their back on God. And it says, "Now in verse 2, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children." Guys, you need to understand that during this time, and truthfully, it's still today, but especially during that time, for a woman not to be able to bear children, the immense pain that came along with that, that again, though it still would probably sting today, in fact, I know it does, is that society would cast these women aside as if they were worthless. So this woman, this wife of this man, she can't have children, and society tells her that she's of no value, that she's worthless, and there's this immense pain that goes with that. Now look at verse 3. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children. Now we want everyone in this room to understand that whatever pain you're going through, if you feel like society has pushed you aside and told you that you're worthless, I want you to know, just like this woman, God sees you. And he knows in detail the pain that you're experiencing. And he cares. And he will show up just like he did for this woman. And he says to her, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. I want you guys to catch it. What just happened there in those verses. See, in only the last several hundred years has the medical world finally caught up to understanding that when a woman is getting pregnant, or a woman gets pregnant, that drinking alcohol and raw fish, not so good for the baby. We're just now getting to understand that within the last couple hundred years. We're talking here in Scripture, thousands of years ago, God's word tells this woman who's about to get pregnant, hey, right now, don't be drinking alcohol. Don't be eating anything unclean. He says, because it's not just your body. It's not just your body. See, science tells us something else as well. Is that the moment of conception, there's a unique DNA that has never existed before and never will. Science tells us that. Embryology tells us that at that very moment, a human life has been created. Now, there's this lie that's been permeated out there. That's just a meaningless bunch of cells. But the truth is that is a lie promoted and pushed by those who have a pro-abortion agenda, which ironically, they disregard all science in lieu of this self-righteous justification of murder. Again, they say a meaningless bunch of cells. Let me tell you what science says. At day 21, the heart begins to beat. At day 32, the child can feel pain. At day 40, it has dreams. At 18 weeks, at only 4.5 months, they can hear. And in fact, their limbs are so developed that it's at that point that you can know the gender of the child. And at 25 weeks, thanks to medical advances, at 25 weeks, the child is viable outside of the womb. Again, this murderous scheme in America largely is being promoted and monetized by profit, by the way, by a company called Planned Parenthood. It's a company that was founded by a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. If you don't know, Margaret Sanger was a known eugenicist. That means that she looked at different people, and based on how they appeared, she classified them differently. In fact, she was a regular speaker at KKK meetings. She saw war as a good means to weed out unfit people, and she hated charity because she felt it propped up those who had no value. Now again, sadly, abortion has claimed the lives from 1974 to just even 2004. I don't even have the most up-to-date stats. But in just that time, 44 million people were killed. You guys understand, that is more lives than every world war combined. All of this death, stemming from the belief that there's such a thing as a subhuman. I want you guys to know that God's word says something entirely different. God's word says that you were made in the image of the triune God. And that like Adam, he formed your body. He spoke your conscious soul into existence and he breathed the spirit of life into you. That's why Psalm 139, 13 says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I hope what you guys are hearing tonight, and if there's one thing that you hear, you never have been and never will be a worthless clump of cells. Science says that at conception, a human is made. God's word says that at conception, you have immense value and designed purpose and a plan. That's why he says in the next verse there, or continue on, it says, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. Again, as science is playing catch up, what Jesus is saying here is from the womb, you have immense value, you have a unique design, and you have a meaningful purpose. Now, when he mentions the Nazarite vow, for those who like to take notes, that pulls you back to Numbers chapter 6. And there's essentially three tenets to the Nazarite vow. And a Nazarite vow was something anyone could do. It was a moment when they wanted to kind of maybe get themselves right with the Lord. They're saying, you know what, I've been living selfishly. I want to get things right. And they would take what they call the Nazarite vow. And the three basically tenets of that is that you wouldn't touch a dead thing, you would have no grape or wine, and you wouldn't cut your hair. And now usually that was for a short period of time. It could be 40 days, it could be 40 years, but it was a period of time that the individual set. What's unique here is that the angel of the Lord is telling this woman that her son is going to be a Nazarite from the womb to the day he dies. And then it says, continuing on, and he shall begin, if you don't note in your Bible, if you set notes, once you take note of that as well, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The reason that's important, guys, is we're going to go through this child who is dedicated from the womb is going to break every tenet of that Nazarite vow. He's going to royally screw it up. He's going to mess up every bit of that design and plan. But what I want you guys to see there is that God knows this. God knows what's coming. And Yahweh's foreknowledge doesn't keep him from entrusting you with gifts or a calling. And it doesn't remove us from our responsibility in handling those things properly. It says, so the woman came, verse 6, and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I didn't ask him where he was from. And he did not tell me his name. She's just so excited. Again, remember, this woman has been feeling worthless, cast aside, and pain. And this one, like an angel of God, comes and tells her she didn't hear anything else. I didn't care what his name was. I didn't care where he was from. I didn't care where he was going. This is what I know. He said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. I want you guys to see this man's response to finding out that he's about to be a dad. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. This guy just found out from his wife who he's on the, oh, we're not going to have a kid. That's not our lot in life. And his wife comes running up to him. Guess what? This one, like an angel, says that I'm going to have a baby. And this guy finding out I'm going to be a dad, his first thing is go, I have no clue what I'm doing. And just drops to his, God, will you send that guy back? Because I have no clue what I'm doing here. If you could send him so he could tell me what you want me to do. What an amazing response. When you feel like you have no idea what you're doing in life, to know that you can turn to God and say, hey, I have no clue what I'm doing. I need you to show up. And I also want you guys to see that, again, as we've been looking at this sin cycle during the time of the judges, that it's during this very dark time, this time when everyone's turning their back on God, this time when everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes, this time when people are taking advantage of each other, everyone's just looking out for themselves. Friendship isn't even a real thing. It's just going after whatever I want to go after. During that time, we see that God's design instrument to counter a culture so dark and so rebellious has been and always will be the family. A mom and a dad who lead their children to know God and follow his word. The amazing responsibility of parenting, what this man is recognizing right from the beginning, as he just told, you're going to have a son to take care of. As he goes, that's not mine. This is your child that I am bearing the responsibility to lead and steward. And so when this kid is going to ask as he grows up, well, all my other friends are out doing this. Why can't I do that? Well, everyone else is cutting their hair. Why can't I do this? Oh, well, everyone else is drinking this. Why can't I drink this? This dad will be able to sit back and go, because you belong to the Lord. And I know what his word says. This isn't about what I want. This isn't about what everyone else can do. This is what God's word says, how you are to live your life. Verse 9 says, and God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again. And she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And again, I want you guys to hear this tonight. Again, for those who are wondering, God, where are you? For this family, this woman who was in pain, and God showed up to say, I see you and I know your pain, and I have a plan. And for this dad who says, I have no clue what I'm doing. I need you to show up. And he does. We have a God who sees, who will listen to you. And when you ask him, he will be right there. Verse 10, the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Right there, just understanding that he has just invoked a title. He just invoked a title from the burning bush. Are you the one? And he simply responds, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine. She may not drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we'll prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. So again, even though his wife says, this guy's like an angel, he still thinks it's just a good guy. You have to recognize that during this time, though there are judges, and though we're in a kind of a gap of judges, we're about to meet a new judge, that there are still the high priests inactive. So you still have the high priests who are going, you still have the priests aligned doing their duties. So there's still men of God around. So he's probably got in his head, like, this is just one of those like a man of God who God's speaking through. It says, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? And I want you to check this, seeing it is wonderful. You need to understand what just happened right there. Because we've been talking about a character this entire time, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, when asked who is he declares, I am. And when asked what his name is, he said, you want to know my name? My name is Wonderful. The reason that's important is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a verse many of you might be familiar with if you were around during Christmas season or have heard it over and over. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, speaking of Jesus himself, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He is invoking the name of the Messiah. So this angel of the Lord, this one that they thought was just a man or just this spiritual being, he says, no, I'm not just a man. I'm not just some religious person. I am the I am. I am the one whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Understand who this family is talking to is God the Son, Jesus himself. In Bible study, big words, they like to throw this phrase out. It's called either a Christophany or a Theophany. This is where we're seeing a pre-incarnate Jesus walking around and talking with people. It's happened many other times in Scripture, and this is an amazing moment to understand who exactly they've been speaking to. This is Jesus. Verse 19, so Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. And it happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, the dude freaks out. So again, catch what happened. So he thinks this is just a guy. He's not picking up on this. Are you the guy? I'm the I am. What's your name? My name's Wonderful. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for, the one that was promised, the one who's going to smash the serpent. I'm here. I'm talking with you. And to put this all together, then he's doing this burnt offering to the Lord. And when it flies up in the air, the whole thing just catches on fire. And as a flame goes into the sky, the angel of the Lord disappears with it. And Manoah drops to the ground and starts freaking out. And he says, why? We will surely die because we have seen God. See, because he knew God's word. And God says that if you look upon God's face, you're going to die. And what he just put together, when the angel of the Lord, who is the I Am, whose name is Wonderful, the Messiah, ascends into heaven, he goes, I was just talking with God himself. And the dude freaks out. And I love this. In this moment, to understand, if you have seen Jesus, you have seen God. In John chapter 14, Philip, one of his own disciples, one of Jesus' disciples, is going to ask him. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And Jesus answers and says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God sounds like? Listen to Jesus. You want to know how God acts? Look to Jesus. Because if you have seen Jesus, you have seen God. And to know Jesus is to know God. Now, there's this amazing husband-wife moment here, as so often, men will play the cool. That, you know, he's been, did you get the guy's name? He's trying to be all detail-oriented. And then this crazy event happens, and the dude freaks out. We're going to die. He's here on the ground, and he's looking at his wife. We're going to die. God's going to kill us. And his wife says, if the Lord desired to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from our hands. He wouldn't have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things at these times. So again, while the husband's freaking out, oh man, we're going to die. God's going to kill us right here. The wife goes, then why did he promise we're going to have a child? And why did he accept the offering? And you can almost feel the tension. The husband, okay. Man, the beautiful thing that is marriage, the balance of the two sides. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. Now, interesting, as we're going to go through, just think about this. Is there something interesting here as we're going to move through this man Samson's life? This is a name that is infamous. I think you can find non-churchgoers, non-Christians, they know the name Samson. It's almost up there with Hercules. It's borderline just up there with, you know, the great mythological heroes. But ask yourself, how many Samsons do you know? Something interesting there. A name of infamy, and yet, I don't know that I've ever met one. What's interesting is it says here that the child grew and the Lord blessed him, that Yahweh blessed him. The name Samson, they like to debate on it. It either means sunny or strength. They go back and forth. I many times when I hear these debates and I hear these very smart, well, you know the ancient Hebrew, you make a point. You know the ancient Hebrew, you make the point. But I'm kind of confused why you guys are debating, because what makes sense to me is the people who just saw the angel of the Lord go up in flames, that as they name their son, they're saying, you know who this son will be as called and purposed by the Lord? He will be the bright strength in this dark and weak time. Why debate when it's clear these names so many times, these words have two meanings. He is the bright strength in this dark time. What's also interesting is if you go through Judges, you meet a lot of awesome people. Deborah, Lehu, Gideon. No other judge in all of Scripture does it say that Yahweh blessed him. Samson's the only one. And now what's about to happen, and we've talked about this before, as we end tonight, looking here, between verses 24 and 25, there's another time jump. So as we jump from the last chapter, from verse 24 to 25, you don't see it there, but about 13, 14 years has passed. So we've gone from Samson, who's born and given a name, and now he's been raised. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manaah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. And again, they say that Samson at this moment is anywhere between 13 and 15 years old. And the area that he's grown up on, this Manaah, it's up on a hill. He can, as he's growing up, he's living where he can look out over the land. And so growing up, he's watched as the Philistines would come in and raid the land. He's seen the struggles of the people as the Philistines use and abuse his people. And what's awesome there, guys, is that word move upon, it's the same phrase as beat a drum. And so what we see as we end tonight, as we look, we meet a 13, 15-year-old Samson, a one who God had a purpose and a plan and a design from the womb, who has immense value because he's an image bearer of God. And now at 15 years old, he stands upon a hill looking out over the land. And as he sees the enemy attack his people, a drum begins to beat in his heart. And the Spirit of God moves upon him. And now he's starting to pick up, I know what I was born to do. And that's where we're leaving him tonight, is that we're seeing this Samson right here as the Lord in his Spirit moves upon him. Standing out, looking at, and maybe he's heard his whole life that God had a plan for him, but it's at this moment where he starts to have the interaction with the Lord and goes, I know what the Lord made me to do, and it's beating in his heart like a drum. Again, guys, if there's anyone here tonight who's ever had the lie thrust upon them or believes the despicable lie that you were ever a worthless clump of cells, that is a lie. Complete contrary to science, to God's word, that tells you that from the moment you were conceived, you were a human being. And God's word says that from that very moment, you were handcrafted, designed by God. That you have immense value as his image bearer. And that he has a plan and a purpose for you. And maybe you've been living most of your life and you go, yeah, but what is it? Well, wait for that Spirit of the Lord to come. And if you want that, to know that he has a plan, he has a purpose, and when it moves upon you, it will be like a beating of a drum where you will know, this is what I was made for. I promise you, he has that for you. And we're going to see that even though we may mess up sometimes, that we have a God who's faithful to trust us with gifts and callings that he has for you. Though we may not always be faithful, he always is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for who you are. Lord, that we get to see your son, the one who comes and meets the brokenhearted, the ones the world would cast aside, to remind us that you see us, you know our pain, and you will show up. Lord, when we don't know what to do like Manoah, we can cry out and you will be right there. Father, that you have designed us with immense value and purpose. Father, we just pray that each one here tonight, your Spirit would move upon them and would beat them like a drum in their heart to know what they were made by you to do. In your son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at SickosBeatsSuck797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.